Now, the real question is, can you be funnier than Dean, Ben?
Can I be funnier than Dean?
Yeah.
Dude, who do you think Dean tries to impersonate when he's being funny?
This is the Meteor Club Podcast, a weekly roundtable discussion about all things Meteor.
Welcome, Meteor fans, to the Meteor Club Podcast. I am your host, Josh Owens, along with my co-host, Ben Strahan.
Welcome. Yo.
Hello, Josh.
And this week, we've got two special guests, Sam Korkos, a freelance Meteor developer. Welcome, Sam.
Hello, Josh.
And we also have Ryan Swap with us as well. He's a lawyer, right? Are you're learning to be a lawyer?
I don't know if I'm going to be a lawyer. I'm in law school, so I just ended up there. And yeah, that's me.
Interesting. You'll be like one of the few lawyers that knows React.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I don't know. That might be a scary thing. I don't know.
So what are we talking about today, guys?
Well, we're talking about React, all things React. So Sam's been pumping out a lot of Medium articles. He's done kind of two different apps in the public eye and talked about it on Medium. And Ryan, I think you've done a couple apps now with React, right?
Yeah. So I was planning on doing like a video tutorial a week. And then I started spending my free time messing around with Elixir. So that kind of slowed that down a bit, but I'm still planning on pumping out some more articles. So
nice. Like I watched probably 10 minutes of the first video you put up. So
yeah,
I plan to finish that myself. I thought it would be good to talk about React and try to understand, like with 1.2 coming out, I have a feeling we'll probably see it somewhere around the 24th, if I had to guess. Bold prediction, September 24th. So I thought it'd be good to kind of discuss it and understand. Like, I want to play around with React, so maybe I have some questions. I know, Ben, you're kind of curious as well. So
this has been a long road. This has been a long road. If everyone's been listening to this debate that Josh and I have had, I was like, React is awesome. And Josh is like, he always does his duck face whenever someone says React.
I don't know.
I know.
I don't know about the JSX stuff.
Yeah.
Those whippersnappers, young people, that I can't believe that they would put the HTML into JavaScript.
But a big thing was that two sides of the coin article, or the other side of the coin article. Did you guys read that?
Yeah.
What did you guys think when you saw that article? Was it cool?
Yeah, I was pretty convinced by it. It's certainly worth mentioning that the fact that it's using the same notation as JavaScript or the same notation as HTML does not mean that it's actually HTML. It's really just some syntactical sugar to go on top of a series of functions. So if you really think of it as just a functional way of making DOM elements, then maybe that'll make it a little bit more acceptable to putting it into JavaScript.
Well, and I think for me too, like when you look at Blaze and you look at spacebars, under the covers, it's doing the same thing. It's taking that HTML that you've created and turning it into JavaScript functions. So, I mean, in reality, we're almost doing the same thing. We're just deciding on a different syntax. And if we do it in the JavaScript side, I think you get a little bit more power, because you don't have to write all these helpers necessarily. You can just kind of write code right there in the JSX. Am I right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, I actually really like JSX, because I'm a newer programmer, I guess I would say. And so I wasn't really around back in the era of, of, you know, separate all your concerns and get, you know, the PHP crap out of the HTML and all that kind of stuff. And so I just came into it. I was like, oh, this is actually pretty nice, because I don't have to sit and bounce between two different files. I just have my JavaScript and my related HTML all in the same file right next to each other.
One of the points of that article is the fact that, like, you can reference things right in the same file. And if you're using an IDE, you know, you can kind of rely on that for auto completion and that kind of thing.
Well, one of the other advantages of React and having your functions and everything that manipulates the component all within the same file, within the same component, really, is that it makes it much easier to test. I'm actually writing my next article is going to be on testing with Cucumber for React and Meteor. I found that when the data, the functions, and the DOM elements are all within the same piece, it makes testing pretty easy, unit testing at least.
That's interesting, though, because you said your article is going to be about Cucumber, which isn't really a unit testing framework.
Right,
are
right.
you using something like Jasmine then, too? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm currently writing the one on Cucumber. Jasmine will come next.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a good point for sure. That's one thing that I think it was, I'm going to butcher his last name, but do you guys know Adam Bertaszynski, I think is how you say it, from the forums? He's always commenting on React. He's kind of the big React guy. He's actually super helpful. Like, you ask a question and he'll write you like this huge response back, which is pretty nice. But that's one thing that he mentioned to me when I first started getting into React was how easy it was with kind of the style that people are recommending that you write React components in is having what they say, like the smart parent and the dumb child. I think you guys have mentioned that in a before. And so you pretty much get all of your data in the parent component and then pass it down to the child component as props. And then, like Sam was saying, it just becomes ridiculously easy to just test that particular child component because it's dumb and you pass the data down with props. And I mean, I found it to be a lot easier to test than say like, you know, something in Blaze for sure.
One of the best named pieces in all of programming that I've come across is the term state. State is really the current state of the app. It is all of the parts of your app that are manipulable by the user. It's telling you, for example, a form that is filled out, a button that has been pressed, a pop-out that is showing, all of the things. If you, at some point in the future, could just take all of those elements of the state and just push them back into the components, you can basically show the current state of the app just with all of the components that you're storing. When it comes to testing, you can just make up with a new state and pass those in as the variables to the component and use those to test. It certainly makes it a lot easier because you don't have to rely on data.
I mean, that's always the tough part about testing is like having to create fixture data and that kind of thing. And I know that can sometimes be a little bit annoying. I think it still has to be done in Cucumber and that kind of thing because you're testing the whole system. But yeah, that's a good point about unit testing.
Yeah, for sure. That was one of the struggles that I had initially with Meteor was like, how do I unit test everything? Because it was, when I was first getting into it, Meteor was just like a whole bunch of magic. I was like, what is going on? And I started to figure that out a little bit. I took your testing class, Josh, and that was really good. And then getting into React, I was like, oh, geez, all I have to do is render a component, you know, with some state like Sam was talking about, and then it's just super easy to test everything. So it's really nice that way.
Ryan, have you played at all with Redux? Somebody just suggested that to me a couple of days ago.
Yeah, I actually have. So I was building over the last week or two, I was really like trying to figure out Elixir and the Phoenix framework. And so just as I was building an API with it and then using React and actually Redux on the front end, and Redux is awesome. I really like it in like a traditional REST API situation. It seemed like it worked a lot better that way than when I tried to plug it into Meteor, because Meteor is like, it's already kind of manages state a little bit for you. And so it seemed like it was a little harder to get Redux working with it. I'm still working on it. I think I'm going to try and that might be a tutorial I want to do in the future is like setting up Redux with Meteor. Yeah, it's awesome. It works really well.
So I guess maybe that's the part that confuses me. You know, I hear about React, but then I see all this other stuff kind of attached to it. Like you just mentioned Redux or Flux, or I think there's there's a couple other terms.
Reflex.
Yeah. Reflex.
There's many of them.
Yeah. So like, I just don't understand what all that stuff is doing and why I would need it. And do I need it to work with React and Meteor? Like that's kind of a big question as well.
Well, a lot of them are just, they're more guidelines for how you should write your code. Flux, I know Adam Brzezinski talks about how he uses Flux. Meteor handles all your data, so the idea of a Flux store seems a little bit redundant to me. I don't know. Have you played around with it, Ryan?
Yeah, I came to the same conclusion because he was really pushing the Flux way when he was talking about it in the forums, and I started playing with it, and like I was going through his code, and so like Josh and Ben, are you guys familiar with like the way Flux works at all?
No, I'm not.
So you have what's called like at least in Redux, which is not necessarily Flux, but it's like an implementation of it. And you have this central store, and it's basically just a JavaScript object. And you trigger actions, which then go to this thing called a reducer. So there's actions, there's reducers, and there's the store. And so you trigger an action which goes to the reducer, and the reducer changes the store, which is essentially the state of your app. I was trying to plug that into Meteor, and kind of like Sam was saying, it doesn't really, like, because Meteor handles a lot of that stuff for you, I also found it to be a bit redundant, but I don't know, I'm still kind of on the fence as to whether or not I think it's useful in Meteor, because I haven't found a really good use for it yet, but that's not to say there isn't one.
Yeah, and Adam's a smart guy, so I assume there's definitely a use case for it.
So you two guys wrote some tutorials for React, or did like a video. What has been like the feedback on what you guys have heard back from what you put out into the world? I guess, Sam, on your articles, man.
Yeah. The Meteor React Ionic app, that was a mobile app that really just uses Ionic for the styling, just because I didn't want to go through the hassle of it. There were a lot of questions. It would appear that React is not something that people are comfortable with right now. I spent a lot of time answering very basic questions, especially about Meteor, actually. A lot of new people to both frameworks were asking me a lot of questions. Overall, I would say it was positive. The fact that a lot of these things don't work natively with iOS seemed to cause a lot of problems. Swiping, all of the sort of animations. The second series on Meteor and React for Campaign Hawk has been very positive. I'm using a lot with Mapbox to do data layers and visualizations, and using React to trigger all of the events for modals, for pop-outs, tooltips, things like that. Yeah, it's been very positive.
Very cool. And that's exactly like what I was really curious about your articles, because, or for both of them, is we have React on one side, we have Meteor on the other, and they both have like thriving communities, very, very loud, like to talk about it. And so you guys kind of like made a bridge with your tutorials on that. And that's cool to hear that, Sam, that people are talking out and both sides are getting introduced to either, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Very cool. Very cool. Nice. What about you?
My feedback was also pretty good too. I got quite a few emails from people saying, hey, you know, thanks for showing me how to throw those two together. Because I think like Sam was saying, there's a bit of confusion, I think, as to like, what exactly React is and how it fits into the Meteor picture. That's kind of originally why I thought that I would make the initial tutorial that I did, because I saw a lot of people posting on the forums saying like, hey, what is this stuff? Heck, how does it work? So that's the motivation behind mine. And I've seen a lot of good feedback from it so far. I think that once people see it and how it works and how simple it is, that it becomes a lot more of an attractive option for a view layer with Meteor.
What I generally hear from people is that Blaze is really fast to get started, but that React, even though it might be a little bit slower, let's say in the prototyping phase, that in the long run, it's actually much easier to create like a maintainable view layer that's easy to work with. I mean, would you guys kind of agree with that? I know you and I have talked about it, Sam.
Yeah, it's for me, at least it has to do with being able to trace where actions lead to results, where you click a button and you have to trace where that action is finally being utilized. With these smart parents and dumb children, the action rests at the highest level component that needs to access it. So for example, with Campaign Hawk, a lot of the things that are being triggered on the map is a higher order component. But in order to trigger that, maybe you have to click on a button that is three or four components down. With something like Blaze, you would just put an event listener that triggers something that just shoots up. But in React, the data only flows in one direction, which is kind of a pain to get used to. It took two or three efforts to start with React before I was actually comfortable building something with it, mostly at the urging of my brother, who is a much better programmer than I am. And he said that I really needed to get into it. Once I got used to the way that React more or less forces you to do everything the right way, I started to see why you have to do that. Where the data flowing one direction means that you don't have the jQuery soup, or you don't have issues where you're not really sure where an infinite loop is occurring because you have so many different events going in so many different directions, and it's not really clear what's causing what.
When you just started that response, that answer, one thing stood out to me, which was the difference between Blaze and React. And Josh led into saying like there might be some overhead or slow start on React, but then it like pays off later on. In the future projects that you're going to be starting, is like React your go-to, or is there like certain circumstances where you'd be like, well, Blaze is a good one to get started here?
Well, yeah, I was going to actually be in a hackathon just about a week ago, and I was probably going to use Blaze for that. Part of it is that for people who don't know Meteor, it's very intuitive. People are already comfortable with HTML and JavaScript and CSS. And using a handlebar syntax for HTML is not a big stretch for somebody that's never seen Meteor before. I have friends who use Angular, and if I just show them, no, this is what a template is, and this is where your HTML goes. They, oh, okay, that makes sense. And if you want to add an event, it's just template, name, events. And then it's just event right in there. It's a very comfortable syntax. That's a very good place to get started. When I have friends that ask me how to get started with Meteor, I definitely suggest that they start with Blaze, because it's using a lot of things that people are more familiar with, whereas React takes some time to get used to.
I would totally agree with that. I think Blaze is super easy to get up and running with. I remember the first time I started playing with Meteor, I was like, holy crap, you know, like I can build something incredibly fast with this. And React, I think that initially for me, it was pretty slow. And then I think it got even slower for me when I tried to do React with like a Meteor style. But when I use React as simply like the way that it's supposed to be used with all the React tools, it's actually, I found it to be pretty quick. And so I think that the struggle for me has been like trying to use React the way it's supposed to be used versus like React with a Meteor, I guess, sort of flavor to it. So I know in my tutorial I use Flow Router for the router, but I've actually found React Router to be a lot easier to work with when using React. And I know that Arnota has come out with the Reactor router that has kind of a similar syntax to React Router. I haven't played with it yet, but I have found just kind of using the React tools with React to be a lot easier and faster to get up and running than trying to fit React into the Meteor tools.
Very interesting. So are you guys saying that Blaze is good for hackathons and for learning Meteor, and that's the box that it's in?
Well, I mean, for my last actual production project, I used Blaze, and it works fine. We've gone through several iterations of refactoring, and it was not easy. what we ended up doing is we have a lot of things that are just commented out, because in React, it's much more clear when you're going to break something. in Blaze, when you have a lot of really intermingled templates, when you remove something, I've certainly noticed when I go back into my JavaScript, I'll say, oh, wow, I have a whole block of template events for a template that doesn't exist anymore. And it's not entirely clear where you're going to break things when you have to refactor.
Yeah, yeah. We've all lived through that, especially on larger projects. Working with parent data is a pain in Blaze. Does React solve that?
Yes, I would say it does, definitely. Yeah, that's that. So I recently, well, I'm still working on a production app with Blaze, actually. I'm not hating on Blaze at all. Like, I think Blaze is awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, no one get me wrong when I'm like drilling into like this Blaze React thing. But I do want to have a clear line for whoever's listening where the boundaries are and how to make good decisions going forward. So, but sorry, Ryan. Yeah, what were you saying with the project that you got?
It's kind of interesting. Like, I plan on making like software for law firms. So I think there's a big need for that. So that's what I've been working on, is this big app. The company I work for, we're working on an app for law firms to do like new client intake. And so it's all in Blaze. And it's worked really well. But like you were saying, the transferring data between, you know, parent templates and child templates and things like that gets a little bit messy, and it's kind of really difficult to do sometimes. And so you end up like having to throw a lot of stuff in like, you know, session variables to try and get them across multiple templates. And with React though, and with like, if you're using Redux or FluxStore, everything's just stored in the store. So you just pull things from it. And so I've just found it to be a lot. I know the common term is like easy to reason about, right? But I think that's really true. I think it's super easy to tell what's happening in your app, where it's coming from, and how to fix bugs that creep in.
That would be my one complaint point with Blaze, is the fact that there's no good way to, like, you can get at parent data, but you can't really get at a parent template in any way. And so, you know, if we want to avoid the use of session everywhere, you have to really, you have to use a React variable or reactive variable. And like, that has to be stored in the template state itself. And there's no good way to get at that. Like, I've got a pull request out there that no one seems to give a crap about at Meteor. Like, it's been out there for probably 3 months now, and it's got tests and it all passes. But I mean, you know, like, this is the thing that we need to fix in order to make Blaze more attractive, maybe. If someone spent a week maybe tweaking Blaze and making it a little better, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. I don't know.
I think it's fundamentally different. It certainly feels like it is when I'm writing it. The magic of Meteor that I found is probably the reason why I've stuck with it is DDP. The moving of data between server and client, the integration with Mongo, even though I've had some issues with Mongo for relational data, it makes it really easy. That's really been the hard part. When I worked with the mean stack, for example, the massive amount of boilerplate code from Yeoman and the difficulty of managing data. So the front end really hasn't been a major contributing factor.
What kind of shirt are you wearing to this talk, Josh?
Well, that one?
We know where Josh lies now with the front end.
No. They just gave me a shirt. It fits and it was clean. So, you know, if you saw my laundry room, you'd be like, wow, you have a clean shirt.
So for all the listeners, Josh decided to have a conversation about React, but wore his like famous shirt.
Yeah, honestly,
so
I'm
famous.
No, I've never used famous, and frankly, I've only heard terrible things about it. So,
yeah, it's kind of confusing. I played with it one time.
Yeah,
it is shocking though. It brings up my next point though, is all these front ends just like came at us last year. And we had React, we had Famous. They made huge splashes, Blaze, and it made a smaller splash. Angular 2.0, like there's like a massive push to decide, and like people want to get control of your front end, you know? And I know Josh brought up speculation about like how many people really are using React, how much of it's like marketing buzz and buzzwords and stuff like that. Are you guys in a solid React camp? Have you guys played with Angular 2.0? We had the discussion with Blaze and React just now. I'm like expanding that now and seeing like if React's here to stay.
Yeah, I haven't used Angular 2.0. I used to use Angular. I was not a huge fan of all of the logic that was in the HTML. Mm-hmm. Certainly, it's kind of in many ways the opposite of React, where React has a very distinct separation of concerns. Angular kind of did the opposite. But again, it was very easy to understand, much like Blaze is easy to understand. I'm definitely solidly in the React camp. Going forward for all major projects, I'll be using React. What flavor of React, I'm not entirely sure.
What do you mean by that?
So the Flux, whether you're using Flux, Redux, Reflux, I know there are a dozen of them that all seem to be cropping up with a lot of people with very strong opinions on them. I found that using what I call composable components, but just a higher order component, a Meteor data component that handles your subscriptions, seems to do that pretty well. The longer term of what flavor of React really makes its way into Meteor, I really don't know.
I think React's definitely here to stay. So I'm in Salt Lake City, and there's like a huge JavaScript community here. The React Conf, there's like the big one that was in Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
And then there was this React Rally that was the other big one, and it was here in Salt Lake. We also have the NG Conf here. So we got like the Angular Conf. And so I know there's a huge Angular crowd here, but I'm in this like Utah JavaScript Slack channel. And literally, like, it's just pure React. I think there were a ton of Angular people, but it seems like the majority of them have jumped over to the React camp. And I think tons and tons of people are using it. I could probably list off, I could just go through this list, and there are a ton of React users here. So I definitely think it's here to stay.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, just the fact that Facebook is backing it, I think, is going to give it some legs, in my opinion. You know, the same thing with Angular. But I think the thing that maybe gives React a leg up over some of the other ones is actually React Native. So I'm kind of curious if you guys have played with that. And is it basically like I can write one front end and then kind of compile React Native app from that? Or do I still have kind of like two code bases? Or do you guys know anything about that?
I haven't. Since I primarily want to use something that's works for iPhone and Android, from what I understand, React Native is just iPhone right now. So I've just been using Cordova for all mobile applications.
Yeah, that's right. I think their whole point was quality. And so they didn't go the Cordova route because they wanted to go native. I think early on when I was reading about it, they were very forthcoming with saying that you should write iOS-specific apps, you should write Android-specific apps, and they shouldn't be mingled with what your web app is. And you got a separate API. I think they're sticking with that. It is still iOS. You see a little bit of sprinkling of Android verbiage in their recent commits, but other than that, that's what I remember. So it would be more work for us.
Yeah, I haven't actually built anything with React Native myself, but I've seen people's code that have been doing it, and I know a lot of people here locally are into React Native. And from what I understand, you basically, like, have you guys worked in like Swift or Objective-C at all?
Mm-mm. Nope.
I've played around with it a little bit. Swift has all these concepts and these APIs for building iOS apps. And so the React code almost looks similar to like the naming of the React components looks similar to Swift APIs. It is React code, but it's like not at the same time, I guess. It's not just your typical HTML, JSX looking stuff. It looks more like it's got some Swift naming conventions in there and stuff like that. But overall, I mean, don't get me wrong, it does look like React code, and I think it is a lot similar. But it's pretty cool. It's like you can have your I'm blanking on the main iOS IDE, the Xcode. Yeah. So you have like Xcode up with your, from what I've seen, people like write their React code and some other text editor, and then they've got Xcode pulled up as well. And it's like, it's almost like instant. Like you change your React code and then it like compiles to, I don't know if it compiles, I think it compiles to Objective-C maybe. And then it just like changes in Xcode and your app changes too. And you can see like the live version of it. And it's pretty cool, but I haven't had a chance to build anything with it yet.
We went through an interesting article by Differential where a guy was talking about React Native, and basically it's just like any like static front end that is decoupled from Meteor, and you gotta build out. You don't have Mini Mongo available to you or any of the awesome like front end stuff that we might take for granted. And the Differential article went through that stuff. And it just like confirmed to me that that React Native is just, again, like one step separation. You're really going to have to change your workflow in order to like incorporate React Native. And so that is interesting. Like I'm going to bring React in, and there's React Native out there, but I got to like be wise with my time and my money and the investment. So it's like, I'm going to go Cordova with React.
Yeah.
And not touch React Native. And that's what I really liked about your article, Sam, because it's like the reality of the current state right now of like,
yeah, the dev stack. Certainly one of the major advantages of Meteor, and one of the reasons why I switched over to it full time, is that the idea that you can build one app and have a prototype that works across every platform is really appealing. If you want to build, everyone, you know, scaling comes up constantly. I've certainly never run into a scaling problem, but theoretically, if that was a concern, you know, if you run into scaling problems, maybe you can hire a team of 20 people to use a more robust technology that's been around for 15 years.
Right. But at that point, like you've hit product market fit, and you've probably, yeah, you're in exactly. Like your second round of funding and, you know, all that kind of jazz. Yeah.
Exactly. And you can hire a person that does native iOS app development and hire a guy who does Android. But until then, the ability to have one developer who spends 2 weeks building a prototype that works on every platform is really hard to beat.
I think, though, we're like in a certain like segment in time where that holds true. But I think we're quickly approaching a moment where like that just won't be acceptable anymore. And here's like what I'm getting at. So on iOS, you could totally know like the super old Cordova apps or whatever. You open it up and it has like the Windows or the iOS 6 user interface, right? It's like all glossy and everything. And you're like, oh, this is like, look how old this is, man. What did I just spend 99 cents for? And you throw it out, right? Okay. So think of all the interaction and the rich UI that's coming, especially with material design. Or it's going to be a tremendous job to like fake that coming up in the future. So I think React Native is something like we don't just like pass off right now.
Sure.
I think coming in the near future, it's going to be like, you know, the thing that we'd be using for sure, just because of how rich the interfaces are going to become.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, man. Like I this app that I'm working on right now at work is, if I tried to turn it into a Cordova app, it would just be like the slowest, ugliest thing ever. And I'm using like Material Design as the look of it, but I just feel like if it wasn't native, it would be just extremely slow and clunky. And so I do think that's true, that you're going to have separate people to do the different kinds of apps that are out there, whether it's Android or iOS or if anything else comes up in the future. And so I think the benefit that React provides you with is that rather than having separate teams writing in separate languages, you've got separate teams writing in the same language. You know what I mean? So it's like you can easily, yeah. You can go into the iOS team and be like, oh, I know what's going on with your app because it's React, right? Yeah. So I think that's like the main benefit of it.
Yeah, I think like with this, React Native is going to shine. And like there's native script as well out there right now where you can get like the rich interaction that the iOS or Google offers, but it's all through an API that you just have to learn, and it's through JavaScript that you're familiar with. You're still going to need like to have like an expert. Like you can't just like carry it over pretty easy like Cordova is right now. But I think React Native or a JavaScript compiler is going to like bring it a huge step closer to us where you could have one guy doing it and it's going to be pretty solid. I mostly make like cruddy applications that Josh was about to say. I just
nice. No.
But I think that's like where like the rich user interface is like we really didn't have to, we weren't affected by it up until this point. And now like we're coming to where just like basic CRUD apps are going to be like hitting that wall, that design wall where like things need to like look polished.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I tend to disagree. Like as a guy who's put out a pretty big Cordova application, like it has a native feel to me on my phone, and I don't really feel like I'm missing anything. I mean, I used Meteoric to do it, and I think that works well enough. You know, we haven't had any complaints. No one said, oh, hey, this doesn't feel native. Like everyone just assumes this is like a legit iOS app that we built natively, and it functions, and I don't know. I tend to disagree, maybe. I think you can do quite a bit with Cordova and with something like Ionic, and I don't know. I feel like
I don't know. I think the DOM is, you know, has a shelf life on mobile devices.
I tend to disagree, just because like the web is what it is, right? Like the DOM, I don't think the DOM is going to go away. You're not going to ditch HTML anytime in the near future. Like that's
no.
The core of the web, and like,
but on for mobile apps, yes.
Yeah, but the devices will continue to optimize. You know, you look at well, there's like two different ways you can do web UI views in Cordova or in iOS, and like one is way faster than the other, and they have to fix a bug in order for Cordova to make use of it, and they haven't done it yet. But I mean, you know, they're pushing the envelope and trying to make those engines faster and better. So
that was interesting. Are you talking about Hansoft and their talk?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
that was really interesting.
Yeah.
Hansoft.
Yeah, that dude's voice is epic for sure.
It was. So I don't know. I mean, that's just my opinion. I feel like I could build something good enough that most people wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
Well, so I'm curious now. So Ryan and Sam, do you guys consider what level of design knowledge or talent would you guys say you have?
I don't consider myself a designer.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, I feel like I can look at a site and be like, that looks like a piece of crap, or that looks really good, you know? But I'm like, my wife's a graphic designer, and like I'll be like, hey, I think this looks good. And she's like, nope, that doesn't.
Ryan, I have a question for you. I've noticed that the really hardcore React people, they all use ClojureScript and OM. Have you ventured that route at all?
You know, I was really looking into Clojure, and the JVM just like feels gross to me for some reason. It's kind of like PHP a little bit. That's when I started looking into like Erlang and Elixir and that kind of stuff. And so I haven't ventured into that. And I actually don't know anyone that uses, at least it seems like all the guys here locally in Utah seem to be just straight JavaScript. I don't know of anyone using ClojureScript really.
And Josh, I was curious, because you probably have some more insight into this than I do. Why is Meteor so interested in keeping Blaze as a thing?
Yeah, I don't.
Josh,
I guess
Josh has insight to MDG.
I probably have the least amount of insight to MDG at this point. I think I'm their least favorite developer that writes blog articles and puts out podcasts, but I have no idea, to be honest. Like,
I have an opinion on it.
Yeah, I think to me, like, it would be a pretty dramatic shift. Like if they came out and said, oh, well, crap, we're going to Node 4 and Fibers isn't there, so we're just going to, you know, we're going to release Meteor 2 and you got to like rip out all your Fibers enabled stuff. And people would be like, ah, you know, like tearing out their hair because that would be terrible and you'd have to rework a lot of stuff. And I don't know. I think Blaze is maybe the same way. Like there's just a lot of people that do rely on it. And I think letting it die off might be not awesome for the community, at least in the short term. I hate to say it, but they have a legacy community at this point, right? And they have to consider that to some degree. And I also think like, no matter what, whether we think Angular or React or any of these other libraries are going to take off and kind of be the winner, right? Like the VHS versus the Betamax. Like it's probably still too early to call that. If you look, jQuery, it took it a long time to come along and be the winner. And I would say that it's kind of the de facto front-end DOM manipulation library. And I don't know, maybe that has something to do with it too, because I don't, you know, with React, you don't use jQuery, do you?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're not supposed to. It's considered dirty, but I think a lot of people still do.
Yeah. I get where they're coming from the standpoint of like adding Angular and React support. It makes sense because you can tap into, at least with, I would say, if I had to guess, the React community is probably about the same size as the Meteor community, whereas I think the Angular community is probably like the order of magnitude larger. And so they're really, I think at this point, just trying to tap into those communities and draw in more people. And, you know, it's one of those things, like I was answering a Quora question yesterday, and it was about Mongo and the fact that like the oplog back pressure problem that you sometimes have where like you get too many oplog writes and your servers get overwhelmed. And that was a problem people were dealing with, and a particular company was dealing with it, and they came up with a solution and kind of worked through it with MDG. And I think, you know, they released that back out to the community. And I saw Sashko say something like, you know, we're hoping that this continues to happen, especially with their developer subscriptions and that kind of thing. So I would say like tapping into those communities and growing, even if it's only tangentially related, like growing our community that of people that care about Meteor is going to be a good thing.
Dude, for someone who doesn't know, you sure laid out a good case, man. Yep. And I think it also touches back on one of the first questions that we had on like choosing between Blaze and React. And we said, you know, starting out, we would without a doubt recommend Blaze.
Yeah.
That's a way that MDG is going to sell Meteor then to other people. And getting rid of it kind of makes adoption and probably a little bit more of a difficult thing. I wouldn't say an order of magnitude bigger, but, you know, another little hill that like Blaze meets that need.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the order of magnitude comment was about the size of the Angular community.
Yeah. No, I'm not.
I would be surprised if React was... Definitely, it's not as big as Angular, right? Because Angular just kind of took off like crazy a few years ago. But React, at least from what I've seen in the community here and what I've seen online, it seems like React... Like, I know a lot of the Ember people and a lot of the Angular people have all jumped ship, especially because 1.3 of Angular was supposedly not backwards compatible with 2.0. I think at that point, a lot of people were like, all right, we're done with this. And so I do think that Blaze is like easier to grasp for sure, and that it's a lot easier for newcomers. But I also think that you could definitely onboard people with React. And I think the React tutorial that Sashko did was pretty good. And that's kind of a good way to go about it. The whole issue of whether or not Blaze should come or go is, I don't know, it's kind of an interesting thing because I really like it. It's really easy to get up and running, but I feel like it becomes a mess when you build anything big with it.
But, I mean, it's only a mess because I feel like they're not really paying attention to it. Like, you get little updates here and there, but there's really, I don't think anyone's like spending their days at MDG thinking about how to make Blaze better. And the other part of this is like, you got to look at the dev team and think, what are they doing every day? They're building Meteor itself. They're not really building apps in the long term. And even when they take a week off and do their like app week and everyone works on an app using Meteor, like, it's still not enough. Like, an app that I can build in a week is still something that seems feasible in Blaze. Whereas, you know, now that I'm 9 months into this Cordova app, I definitely feel some of the trouble spots of Blaze, you know? So
Yeah, that's true.
I just don't think they're feeling it, and they're also not really assigning people to it in the long term right now. And that's, you know, I don't have any firsthand knowledge of that. That's just my gut, you know, based on the code commits you're seeing out of different people that are there. You learn a lot when you look through the commit logs.
Well, I don't think there's like any design patterns really that have emerged for Blaze, at least that I've noticed. Because in other big apps, like for instance Facebook, right? Like the design pattern that emerged was Flux, and now that's like the talk of the town. Everybody loves it. It's a big buzzword now. But with Blaze, you're right. Like once you get into it, because the app I'm building is probably like 5 months in now, and I know what's going on, but if someone came into it, they would probably be like, okay, well, how does this work? It's not like a Rails app or like an Ember app or something where the project structure is all, it's just the same throughout every single app. And so it's, and there's all the different styles out there, whether it's, you have packages for everything or whatever. And so I think that's one thing that if they wanted to make a case for Blaze and make it more effective, and I think they said something about this with 1.2, they're going to release more of like a design pattern, like common structure or a recommended structure for a Meteor app. But I feel like that's one of the pain points, I think, is that there's no like, you have to discover a design pattern yourself. There's no like proven design pattern when you get a bigger Blaze app.
True. But I mean, I would feel like that's even tougher over on the React side of things, where you've got like, you're either going to build it into your Meteor app, or you're going to have to go out and like build your own, almost like a mean stack or something, to get your app kind of backed up by like your React side of things backed up by like a server and kind of communicating back and forth. Like, wouldn't you say that those patterns are going to be completely different for each app?
Are you just referring to React Native?
No, I'm just referring to React. Like, I've got to connect to some kind of data source, right? When I start building a React app. And so does React push you in a certain direction for an app structure?
I mean, it can. The app that I'm working on, the one that I've been writing these articles for, Campaign Hawk, just uses Mongo. It uses Mongo in a way you'd be very familiar with publish and subscribe. You find, you fetch, and you call functions to insert. There are ways to go about it. I read the article on React Native as well, and it seemed like they had a really hard time getting it to work. But for a relatively simple app, it was not particularly hard to get it to work with everything that Meteor gives you out of the box.
So React Native aside, I'll ask you this, Ryan. Like, if you write a React app and you pass it off to me, am I going to be able to pick it up? Are the standards kind of defined that, you know, it's going to make sense, that I know where to look and that kind of thing?
I guess as far as like connecting it to a data source with regard to what you're saying earlier. So like I was saying in the chat, like I built a Phoenix Elixir app with React on the front of it. And so it was actually like I had, and this is what I hear is pretty common, is a lot of people they'll have like a Rails app, right? Or like I did Phoenix or, you know, Express or whatever, and then they'll have a folder inside of their Express or Rails app or whatever, and that will contain like the entire React app. And so there's not necessarily like a, because like when you go into a Meteor app, right, a lot of times it'll be like a template directory, and then depending on what the names of the directories are, you can kind of tell like what's happening here or there. And so that's similar to how a React app is. I don't know if there's necessarily like a Rails type structure for how to write React code, you know. But I know earlier Sam was saying that it feels a lot different. That's kind of what I've come to see too, that it just feels a lot cleaner whenever I write React code versus Blaze code. And I guess it's hard to say exactly what that is. But I think once you do start writing, and I mean, granted, I haven't built a huge React app, right? Like I'm in the process of building one with Meteor. I guess I can't really say for sure if it's the main differences between a big React app with Meteor and a big Blaze app with Meteor until I actually do it.
I guess to me, like having worked in a bunch of different apps, generally I don't find that to be a huge problem. Like grokking where they put stuff and how things work, like usually it's like maybe 10 to 30 minutes and you kind of start catching on and you know where things are. And like the only time that I've found it more difficult is when they have like a crap ton of packages and they're relying on those packages. So something like, I find something like Telescope a little harder to necessarily grok like what's going on and where those things are necessarily. And Sasha doesn't do quite as bad of a job because it's all in one repo and I can go look at it. But there are some other apps out there that like, there's no one central repo for the app. Like it's all just packages that are getting pulled in via Atmosphere. And, you know, I can't pull down one project and have everything ready to go. And that sometimes is a little harder to me to figure out where things are and how it's working. But for the most part, I haven't really had a big issue there.
I mean, granted, there's not really a ton of like big Meteor apps out there yet. And so, and especially open source ones, right?
Yeah.
Like Telescope is probably the biggest example.
Maybe. Reaction Commerce is actually, I'd be curious to see the lines of code count, but they're pretty big too.
Yeah. And so it's hard to like get a good idea of what, you know, going into an app that's already been built and seeing if I can figure out what's going on. Maybe what makes React seem like it is a little bit easier to grok is just that I think a lot of people use it with backends that are very opinionated with how you're supposed to structure your code. And so that kind of makes it a little bit easier to understand for sure. But when you look at a React component and you look at its child components, it's a lot easier to see what's happening in the component. Whereas like with at least the way I structure my code, and I've seen other people do it with like in Blaze, you have your template, right? And then you've got your associated JavaScript file that's got your on rendered and your on destroyed and all that stuff, the events and whatever. And when that template starts to get big, that file becomes a little intense. At least that's my experience. Like you scroll up and down and you're like, okay, well, what's going on here? How is that affecting other templates? But whereas with React, I feel like I just look at it and it's like, okay, I know what's going on. It seems a lot. Maybe Sam has a different experience, but that seems like that's kind of been my
experience. That's definitely the case. And I think a big reason for that is the fact that data only flows in one direction. Mm. So you can start at the parent and you can work your way down and you can see the function that lives in the parent, where that is being passed down into each child and where it is being called. It certainly is easier to trace back what an app is doing than it is in Blaze when you have to go through that very lengthy JavaScript file that you're not necessarily able to follow.
And I think that was one of the tenets of React too at Facebook and like getting teams up and going quicker.
One of the things that I found most interesting from, I was watching one of the early videos on React when Facebook was starting to introduce it, was how it was really interesting that they were still using PHP, but certain pieces of their app were just done in React. And because React is just the view, they were able to make just their chat app. So the little piece in the corner, that was in React. Everything else was PHP. Mm-hmm. And maybe the graph search, that was also React. So just little pieces of the app they were able to do incrementally. It definitely was quite interesting how when you want to refactor an app, you can do it with just pieces of it using React.
Yeah. Like I think you could accomplish a good portion of the feeling you get in React. You could take those principles and probably apply them to Blaze and get some semblance of, you know, structure. But maybe the problem is that like it's going to be hard to get everyone flowing in that same direction and thinking in that way. And maybe that's the difference that React gives you, is that it's kind of built that way from the get-go, whereas Blaze was not. My gut says if you feel like your JavaScript template code is getting kind of intense, then that's probably a sign that your template needs to have children now, and like some of that needs to be pushed down, and like React maybe helps you get there faster than Blaze does, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that's true for sure. And I guess it depends on what you're building too, you know, cause I think there's certain things that you build that it's just going to be intense anyways. Right. Yeah. I think that the really nice thing about React is that because it's so easy to communicate from the parent template to the child template and the one unidirectional data flow, that it's easy to just start turning all these little things into your app into a child component. Whereas I found it's sometimes a little bit more difficult to pass things down to like a Blaze template.
If you want to break an exceedingly large Blaze template into several child templates, going into that JSX, the JavaScript file, and finding all your template helpers and events and figuring out how to refactor them in a way that makes sense. In React, all you have to do is take those same functions and pass them as props to the child. Breaking something into a child component is very easy to do.
Well, and I would say, I like early on, I think with Spark, you inherited functions down to the child template, and that was no big deal. But with Blaze, I think it did change. So we used to be able to do that.
Yeah, and the nice thing about the way that React works that way is that, like one thing that I've noticed is that I used, for instance, like a package like AutoForm in Meteor a lot, and it's a great package, right? It works really well. But when you start working in React, because it's so easy to create little child components, like I can have a form input component that I just plug into every single form in my app, and I pass it props from the parent component. And it basically, you can create a really pretty much the same thing as what AutoForm gives you really easily in React. And that's one thing that I've really liked about it, is that it's really easy to make these things that are more difficult to do in other frameworks.
Do you guys find yourself using Session and Reactive Vars and Dict like less?
Yeah, I don't use them at all.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool. And the reason why I thought of that was because with AutoForms, you can get into some trouble if you're using Session and things like recomputing. And then your front end's going to be going crazy. With React, it seems like you don't need to think about that. If it's sufficing that the data is being passed around in a nice way and you're not using Reactive Vars or Session, that's a pretty big advertisement for React right there too.
Yeah, totally. Well, the components all manage their own state, and they pass that state down to their child components. And any time that state or a prop changes in like a parent component, it automatically re-renders the child component. I don't even know like how to fully describe like how it all works, but it is awesome. Like the way that it works, it really does work well.
Yeah, I found that because React manages state so well, a lot of the things that I had to use session variables for, state has kind of replaced that. Where I used to store a true-false value in the session, and when the session variable changed, it would update something. You can just hold that value in state now. You can hold the state of the app is much more easily managed than it was using Blaze.
It's interesting you say that, because I found myself working on some code the other day, and I feel like maybe some of the blame falls on Iron Router for where we're at right now and how we feel about Blaze, because I found myself wanting to add like basically like dropdowns, right, to kind of change the data that's flowing in from the subscription. And the subscription was in a wait on block. And so the only way for me to communicate back and forth from the template to the subscription was to use a session. And that didn't feel right. I guess maybe template level subscriptions and other applications have spoiled me, because then I would just be able to use a reactive var or something and it would be self-contained and clean. But that wasn't the case. And I wonder if there's like a couple patterns that exist in Iron Router that have kind of pushed us that way.
Yeah, it's very possible.
All right. So I think we've been at it a little over an hour here. So in closing, like, where can people find you? I think most people know they can find you on Medium, Sam, but maybe mention where else they can find you on Twitter or somewhere else. And
yeah, it's just my name, Sam Korkos, Twitter, Medium. Yep. GitHub, same thing.
Nice.
Across the board.
Yeah, I think for me, GitHub, I believe I'm just Ryan Swap. And on Twitter and on other things, I usually use like @Swapticon. It's a name that a buddy of mine started calling me a while back, and I just kind of stuck with it. So that's how to find me.
And help me, guys, get to 400 followers. Come to Twitter and search for _Benster.
I think I already follow you on Twitter.
Yes, Ryan, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to Mr. Sam.
All right.
Nice. Keep it awkward, Ben.
Yes.
Yeah, and then also for anyone that's listening, you know, I think the important thing here too is this is the Meteor Club podcast, and we have a Meteor Club Slack chat room, and everyone that's on this episode is in the Slack chat.
There you go.
Sam followed you back.
Yeah.
If you find these conversations interesting, you can go to Patreon, patreon.com/Meteor Club, and sign up there. $10 a month, you'll get in the Slack chat room. And actually, just after we talked about Adam so much, I just invited him to the Slack chat room too. So who knows? Maybe nice. He'll pop in there.
Great.
Yeah.
Very cool. So time for picks.
Oh, yeah. We didn't do that in the last one. Damn.
I wonder why.
Because you weren't there, Ben.
That's right. So, picks. We pick something non-code related. We show mm-hmm. the world that we're out in the world, that we're not total nerds behind our desk. And we got to like find something awesome to talk about. Josh, do you have anything that comes to your mind?
Okay, so technically it's maybe still code related, but my pick is going to be this weekend. I'm putting in my credit card right now and signing my kids up. There's a Cincy Kids Tech Day, and the dev shop I used to be part of is putting it on, and they're going to be teaching Scratch programming. They're going to be doing stuff with Minecraft, and they're going to be doing like Mindstorm Lego robotics things, and it's for kids like ages 6 to 12, and so all my kids now squarely fall in that age range. So I'm gonna take all three there this weekend and hopefully get them a little more interest in programming. So far I've only been successful in teaching my son a little bit of JavaScript, but I'm hoping the girls will get interested in programming too.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's sweet. I wish my parents would have gotten me into it in an earlier age.
Yeah. So like my gripe is I told my parents when I was like 13 and 14 that I wanted to be a game programmer. And they're like, that's so stupid. No one's going to, that industry is going to fail. Like there was a Nintendo school that I wanted to go to up in Toronto. And they're like, never going to happen. And yeah.
Exhibit A, World of Warcraft, right?
Yep. Exactly. Thanks. Oh, thanks, parents.
All right, Ryan, what's your picks, man?
Ooh, so how many do I get?
Just one, dude.
I was thinking about two.
Shoot. Well, ooh, this is tough, man. I'm going to pick StarCraft. Man.
StarCraft, nice.
StarCraft. So I used to play a little bit back in the day. And I haven't played it too much. I've been coding like way too much and my brain hurts sometimes. I'm like, I just need to veg for a little bit. And so I've been looking for something that is vegging that's like maybe somewhat works my brain a little bit. And so I was like, hey, I'm going to get back into StarCraft. So I started playing StarCraft, and that game makes me feel dumb. Like, seriously.
Oh.
It is so hard. Like I have some buddies that play at a pretty high level, and they're busting out. Like, so there's this thing called actions per minute, and it's how many actions you're doing, like clicking on stuff, attacking things, building things. And like, I'm rolling at like 40 actions per minute, you know, trying to figure out what's going on. And my buddy comes up and he's like at 200, and I'm like, how does this even work? You know,
so keyboard is your action friend. Like every second. That's yeah, what you're at right now. And he's like,
he's well beyond that. It's just like insane. So I feel like StarCraft's awesome. If you want to work your brain, play StarCraft. So that's my.
So one thing I would say is you should, if you haven't yet, check out Kingdom Rush on iOS. They've got three good games. It's a desktop tower defense type game, but it's pretty good. And I like that. Like when I just need a little bit of downtime, I'm also a fan of StarCraft, but generally like I'll like grab my iPad and just play like 15, 20 minutes of Kingdom Rush. And that's a good fix too. Like you just got to get really good with the keyboard if you want to be fast at StarCraft. Like that's the key.
Yeah. It's like pure practice. I think I just have to play it more.
Yeah. Yeah. Sam, Ben, who's next?
So I'm just about finished reading the Cryptonomicon, and I'm a big fan.
Tell me about it.
It's a book that's about cryptology. It has two very separate stories, one based in World War II involving breaking cryptographic codes, and one involving the birth of the web, and the author more or less predicts the rise of cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin. And this was written, I don't know, in the 90s. So
yeah,
it's a very interesting book. I, from what I understand, it was very influential for people like Elon Musk and some of the early PayPal people.
Yeah. So I'm a big fan of, I haven't read that one yet, but I'm a big fan of Neil Stephenson. I've read some of his other stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's very long though. I'll warn you. I try to read about a book a week, and this one is setting me back on my quota.
Does it keep you hooked, though?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Is it one that you, like, it has, like, examples and stuff? You need to, like, actually read it, or could you audible it?
Oh, you could audible it, yeah.
So, this week, I'm going to pick the food trucks that are in front of Willis Tower in Chicago. Yes, some of the best food I've ever had comes out of food trucks. And this is unreal. I haven't ventured down three blocks or like ever until like a couple weeks ago. And now it's like my favorite thing. So
I thought you were going to say the Bears.
The Bears. I don't know.
The Bears.
I don't know. Coding, a family of four, a wife that I like to go on dates with. Like there's no time for sports. I don't know. Other guys look at me weird. But like I gave up sports a while ago.
I just integrated them. So I got my entire family to play fantasy football with me. So they were all very interested in watching the games yesterday.
Very cool. Well, if you're out in Chicago, make sure to go to the food trucks around 11, 12 o'clock. Go get some pierogies.
Nice.
Very good stuff with some spicy onions.
Ooh. Yeah, that does sound good.
It is good stuff. Josh, come on out. I'll buy you lunch, man.
I'll ride my bike up.
All right.
Cool.
All right, guys. It's been good.
Yeah. Thank you for being on. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Yeah. And thanks for tuning in, everyone. We'll be back, I guess, next month. This will be the end of September. So.
Yeah. I don't know if I'll be back, though.
Yeah. Right. Maybe it'll be Dean.
Yeah. I think Dean's funnier.
Musical co-host.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Bye.
This podcast has been a Meteor Club production. You can find out more information about Meteor Club at meteorjs.club. It's pretty easy to join the mailing list and stay in the loop. Again, that's meteorjs.club.